Turning your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 13. It's one of the parables that Jesus gave to his followers early on in his ministry. This parable is revealed not only in Matthew, but in Mark and Luke. It is what we call the parable of the sower or parable of the soils. I prefer the word parable of the soils. We're going to begin reading at Matthew chapter 13, verse 1, and stand with me as we read God's word together. That day Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea, and large crowds gathered to him, so he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd was standing on the beach, and he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, the sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched because they had no root. They withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And Jesus answered them, "To you has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, and while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, 'You will keep on hearing, but not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom the seed was sown beside the road. The one on whom the seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but it's only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one on whom the seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom the seed was sown on good soil, this is the man who hears the word, understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the privilege of being in your house today. We pray that the truth of your holy word would penetrate our hearts, that it would bear fruit in our lives. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Over the years, I've heard many sermons on this particular parable. Some would say that the four types of soil or the four conditions are that represent the conditions of mankind, the spiritual conditions of mankind. Some would say that the first type of soil represents a lost man. The other three types of soil represents some kind of believer, even though it's the last soil that is the fruitful, dedicated believer. Some would say that the first three types of soil represent lost people, unregenerate people, and only the last soil represents a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. I look at it a little bit different because I just look at my own personal experience, and there's times when the Word of God falls into fertile soil in my own heart and life. But then there are times about specific issues, particular issues, that I somewhat rebel, and the Word of God falls upon the stony ground of my heart, the callous part of my heart, and I don't want to hear it. And I think at any particular point in time, any one of us can be this type of soil, and we can resist and reject the truth that God wants to use in penetrating our heart with His holy Word. Now, I've been preaching this series on Preach the Word, and this is a part of what we began several weeks ago. And this morning, I want to indicate three things, three truths out of this particular passage, three truths that I think Jesus was trying to illustrate. First of all, he emphasizes the condition of the heart to receive the Word of God. The condition of the heart to receive the Word of God. He mentions, first of all, the wayside soil. And this represents, Jesus said, the person who does not understand or comprehend the truth of God's Word. He gives a very literal example. This was this wayside soil, or the soil that fell beside the road. It was the hard packed soil because people walked on it. You see, you had a path or a road or a place where people normally traveled, but sometimes as they traveled, they would come to a point where it was just a single path. And they would meet each other going in opposite directions. And so what do? When that happens, you get off the path, you move around. And so even though you had the main path, you had this other soil right beside of the path that was packed down as well, where people would sometimes travel that path as well. And Jesus talks about the farmer. Sometimes a farmer would have even paths through his field, and people would walk on a particular path because they didn't want to destroy the farmer's field. But as he sowed the seed, as that seed fell on that hard-packed path, it would not penetrate the soil because the outer crust of the soil was so hard. It could not penetrate the soil and take root. And then, make matters worse, the birds would come and they would eat the seed that was on top of the soil, and it would never be allowed to take root at all in the ground. This particular type of soil represents a person who seems to have no comprehension of spiritual things. Nothing you share with them ever seems to take root in their heart. The heart seems to be impenetrable. It's calloused, cold. They just don't get spiritual things. They don't want to get spiritual things. They just don't care to hear what you're saying. And because they have a desire to hear the Word of God does not necessarily mean they're even going to understand it if they do hear it and accept the teachings that it provides. And Jesus himself said the devil himself seems to snatch away what truth has been placed in this person's heart, and he keeps him them slave to do his will, according to verses 19 of chapter 13 of Matthew. Paul talks about this person in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. He says, a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. God wants us to have hearts that are open to him, but there are hearts, their condition of some hearts is such that they do not understand. The heart is callous, cold, and hard. The second type of soil is the shallow soil. It has no depth of faith. The shallow soil, or the rocky soil, was actually a reference to a thin layer of ground that was over a ledge of rock. I grew up in Kentucky. We grew up on a farm, and we often had fields like this. We had limestone layers of rock that would go through our pastures and through our fields that we would cultivate. And sometimes you hit those layers of rock, and you only had a small layer of dirt. You go across there with a plow or a disc, and you would hit. It looked like it was fertile soil. It looked like seed could take root, but there would be this layer of rock right underneath the soil. And anything that remained there, any seed that fell there, when the sun came and when difficult times came during the summer months, everything would go brown. It would die because it had no root. This type of soil had the ability to receive the seed and even began to see a plant grow. But the ability to develop a root system will not sustain the plant when the ground receives little moisture and the sun begins to beat down upon the plant. This is the picture, Jesus said, of a heart whose faith has never taken root. And while they may look like people of faith, when difficult times come, their faith does not sustain them, and they are quick to turn away from the faith and to walk away from God. 1 John 2, verse 19 says, they went out from us because they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. There's the thorny soil Jesus mentioned. In the thorny soil, he said, there's no lasting fruit. There never has the opportunity to bear fruit. This is the kind of soil that has lots of weeds and thorns. And when the seed falls into the soil beside the weeds and thorns, because weeds grow quicker than the plant, the seed itself, the fertile fruit, it is choked out and never has a ripe. By the way, I discovered that if you want a healthy lawn, let your grass choke out the weeds. Let the good seed choke out the weeds. But what happens in reverse? If the weeds get too big in the beginning, it chokes out the grass. It chokes out the grass. But if you have good fertile soil, the good seed can choke out the weeds. But what happens a lot of times, we fall into the weedy soil, the thorny soil, and we never have the opportunity to take root. The Word of God never has the ability to get large enough or strong enough to ever produce a harvest. This man allows the cares and worries of this world to take priority in his life. Spiritual things are always put on the back burner. God is second place at the best, and often he falls far down the line of where our priorities ought to be. Matthew 6, 25 through 34 says, therefore, Jesus, in his preaching to the disciples, in his Sermon on the Mount, he says, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food and body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See the lilies of the field, how they grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, Solomon, in all of his splendor, was not dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry. What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own. See, God wants to bless us, and a lot of times we never find his blessing because we are always running after the cares and the pleasures of the world rather than seeking God first. Then there's the fertile soil, and this represents the fruitful Christian. Jesus says there are some seed that falls on good soil, and it multiplies in such a way that the seed sown produces 30 times, 60 times, or 100 times the amount of seed that was sown into the soil. And this soil is representative of a Christian man or woman who hears the Word of God, understands the Word of God, obeys the Word of God. He or she has allowed God's Word to be planted into their hearts, and it's brought to maturity and fruitful living. James 1, 20 through 25, a passage we will look at in more detail in days ahead. It says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do so, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Do you want God's fruitfulness in your life? Then allow the Word of God to fall in the fertile soil of your heart. hear it, obey it, live it. Live it. A few years ago, I was visiting as pastor at First Baptist Church Burnside, and I remember very explicitly making this visit. Went to see a man. Somebody had asked us to go visit this guy. He had a full-time business, his own business, and he was a hard worker. And I talked to him about coming to church, and he said, I don't have time to come to church. And I said, what do you mean you don't have time to come to church? He said, I've got a business. I work 7 days a week. I said, that's not much fun, is it? He said, well, you have to in order to pay the bills. And to me, this was representative of a guy who allowed the cares of this world to choke out his heart. And I just shared with him Matthew 6:33-34. I said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and God will take care of all these other things, food, shelter, and clothing. He promises that if you'll put him first. And I said, you'll find more fulfillment in life. He wasn't buying it. He wasn't receptive. As far as I know, he never came to church. Not while I was there. Because he allowed the cares of the world to choke out the truth of God's word. And he wanted to be blessed, but he wanted to bless himself rather than receive God's blessing. And I want to tell you, you can't improve on God's plan. When you put God first in your life, when you obey his holy word and follow the principles, this word is good for every generation. It's good for every culture. It's good for every people everywhere. Man, woman, boy, girl. This book will bring blessing to your life if you will obey its truth and follow God's holy word. Well, Jesus talked about the condition of the heart, but secondly, he talked about the fruitfulness of the word. The fruitfulness of the word. He says when the word of God falls into good soil, what does it do? First of all, he says it reproduces itself. There's reproduction that takes place. God wants us to reproduce ourselves in the lives of others. That's what sharing the good news is all about. We can't keep it to ourselves. The early apostles, they says, we cannot help but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We will not be silent, even when they were commanded by the authorities to be silent. We will not be silent, they said. We have to speak the truth of God's holy word. So what they had learned, they wanted to pass on. They wanted to reproduce their faith in the hearts and lives of others. When there's a good restaurant that we eat at, we talk about it, don't we? We recommend it to our friends. We encourage others to try it out. What's the best type of advertisement in business? Word of mouth. We gossip about good places to eat. When we have a good doctor that we really like, we recommend that doctor to our friends. When we hear about a good surgeon, we tell others about his skills and his ability and what a good job he has done for us. When we hear about great music or great musicians, we talk about it to others. We recommend those songs and those concerts to our friends. When we have a great vacation, we go to a dynamite destination. We share that with others in hopes that they will get to experience the great fun that we experienced on our vacation as well. We should do the same with our faith, so that what we've experienced in our relationship with God, others may experience as well. God wants us to reproduce ourselves in the hearts and lives of others. Last Sunday morning, we were at Cornerstone Community Church in Chandler, Arizona. That's where my son's on staff. And they actually had Friend Day. They have 5 services on Sunday, 4 Sunday morning, 1 Sunday night, all identical. Huge crowd, large church. And they had Sean Lowe from The Bachelor. Any Bachelor fans? None. All right. Sean Lowe from The Bachelor, he shared his testimony. He was not only on The Bachelor, he was on The Bachelorette. Any Bachelorette fans? Fewer. Well, he was on The Bachelorette. And I think he said he was from Dallas, Texas. He said, I was out walking my dog one day, and they called me up and said, we'd like for you to be on The Bachelorette. He said, how did you get my name? He said, I never applied for this. He said, it didn't take me long to figure out it was my sister who felt like I needed a change in my life. And he said, I went into the whole thing thinking this will be a great vacation. I'm sort of tired. He was an insurance salesman. He said, I was talking to people about dying and selling life insurance. He said, I thought it would be a good break from my routine to do something different and just have a free vacation. So he went on the Bachelorette. But he's a follower of Jesus Christ. And he said he began about the second or third week, he said he found a place out by the pool, a balcony. He's in this big mansion in North Carolina. He said he found this balcony early in the morning. He'd get up with a Bible and a devotional book, and he began to read the scripture. And a friend came out and began to ask him, what are you reading? What's going on here? And he began to share with them that he was reading a Bible and devotional book. And the guy says, well, I've never read any of that. Why don't you read some to me? And he began to read the Bible and this devotional book to one of his friends that was one of the contestants on the show. And he said, over a period of several weeks, he said, several other guys started coming out. They started hearing we were doing this reading and devotional reading and Bible reading, and they started coming out to be a part of it too. And he said over a period of several weeks, there were seven or eight guys coming out on the balcony early in the morning. We were having like this Bible study, and they didn't know it was Bible study. The result was one of those guys, I think his name was Charlie, he gave his heart and life to Jesus Christ by the end of the show when Sean left the show. And he said he still has relationships with several of those guys, and many of them are still seeking. But it thrilled my heart to know that here's a guy on a show that you don't think of as a Christian show, a reality TV show, but his desire is to share his faith and to be consistent in his faith regardless of the circumstances in which he finds himself. He wanted to reproduce his life in the life of others. Well, he got on the Bachelor and went to the very end. He chose a girl, and they ended up getting married, and she was with him there that morning. And it sounds like they have a wonderful relationship. What a wonderful testimony he has given. God wants us to reproduce ourselves in the lives of others. And when there's fruitfulness of God's word, that begins to happen in our lives as Christians. But not only is there fruitfulness and reproduction, there's fruitfulness and blessing. Fruit has to do with God's blessings of our life, the fruit of the Spirit. The Bible says love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. God wants to bless us with that fruit as well. And when we plant the word of God in our heart, there's that love, faith, and hope, and peace, and all those things begin to take place and take root deep in our heart. The fruit of fullness of life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it in abundance. A lot of times we miss out on God's goodness because of the choices we make and the rebellion to God's word. And the result is no fruitfulness in our life. And I want to say to you, make better choices and you will get better results when you allow the Word of God to penetrate deep in your heart and life. He will bring blessing to your life if you choose His way rather than the world's way. Seek first His kingdom. And the fruitfulness of God's Word will bring reproduction and will bring blessing. But I also want you to notice that Jesus emphasizes the faithfulness of the sower. The faithfulness of the sower. He said, behold, a sower went out to sow. A sower went out to sow. You see, if people aren't sowing, there can be no harvest. If people aren't sowing, there can be no heart that will be fertile ground that will receive the seed. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if we're going to be faithful in sowing, we've got to learn to scatter the seed. Now, we don't always know in what kind of soil the seed of God's word will fall, but we need to just keep on scattering the seed. When I grew up on the farm, we would sow grass seed for hay, and we would use a broadcast spreader. You know what a broadcast spreader is? One of those tools, you sort of crank it like this, and the seed flies out from this little rotating wheel at the bottom, and it scatters everywhere. And as you're walking down the field, cranking that rotary spreader, the seed is flying everywhere. The problem is there are those layers of limestone rock, and you didn't ignore the fertile soil just because you didn't want to waste a little seed on the limestone rock, and you knew nothing would take root on that limestone rock, but you still kept spreading the seed because you knew some of the seed would land on fertile soil and produce abundance, produce hay, produce fruit. God has promised that His Word will produce the good things in the life of those who receive it. Not everyone will receive it, but those that do, God promises good things. Isaiah 55:10-11 says, "As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth, making it bud and flourish, so it is, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God's word will not return void. Scatter the seed of the word. Second truth in the faithfulness of the sower, spend the most time in fertile soil. We did two types of planting when I grew up on the farm. One was with a broadcast spreader. The other, we intentionally placed the seed in the ground. My dad would cultivate a furrow, and we would go by and we put seed in the ground. We'd cover it up with a hoe. We could place that seed in the most fertile soil. We knew that where it had been placed, the ground had been tilled and cultivated and fertilized, and it would produce fruit. And then we went back and watered it. The most fertile soil produced the best fruit, produced the best crop. The most productive planting was done when we placed the seed where it had been plowed and cultivated and fertilized. Jesus said to his disciples, "Go out two by two, spend time in towns that are receptive to your message." And he said to leave the towns that are not receptive, shake the dust off your feet. And the principle that Jesus is laying out here is to spend the most of our time and effort doing activities and talking to people that allow us to plant seed in fertile soil. We should have an urgency to spend time with those whose hearts are receptive to the truth of God's Word. It doesn't mean we neglect those who are unreceptive, because we never know who are unreceptive and who are not. But we just need to keep being faithful to scattering the seed. And when we see fertile soil, don't let it go to waste. Keep cultivating that seed. Keep ministering to that individual so that it produces fruit. And then the last truth. Only God knows what soil will ultimately produce fruit. I was talking to Brother Jim about this. He's read the material, Share Jesus Without Fear. And the guy that wrote that material is a man by the name of William Fay. And I'd love to Harry, let you hear all of his testimony. I don't have time for that today. But he grew up in a family of a well-to-do businessman. But he got involved in gambling. Later got involved in the mob, the mafia. He ran a house of prostitution, illegal house of prostitution in Colorado. And he got involved in all kinds of stuff. And he said they found one place where he could go on a regular basis and find some kind of peace. He said, "Over the years, I'd looked for peace. Somehow, by God's providence, I found a place called Lost Valley Ranch. It's set on about 8,500 acres in the Colorado mountain country." He said, "Every time I went there, I felt great. Then when I'd leave and return to my life of madness, reality would hit. Driving towards home, I would get this acid burn in my stomach and tears in my eyes. And I couldn't understand why leaving was so difficult. One day, I figured it out." He said, "I realized the whole ranch was filled with Christians. I got to where I could spot them. They had this funny little look in their eyes. And if I aggravated them, they would begin to quote scriptures at me." He said, "One Easter Sunday, while I was at the ranch, I decided to do what many non-Christians do on Easter Sunday. I went to church." Take that for what it's worth. He said, "I rode my horse out on the meadow and heard a young man named Bill Foster preach a sermon I'd never forget." He said, "There's a difference between happiness and inner peace. Happiness is like the smell of a new car, a new dating relationship, closing a big business deal. It's like illicit drugs or illicit sex. You get high, you're happy, but it never lasts." He said, "Some highs are higher than other highs. Some highs last different lengths of time, but they always end Bill said, I thought to myself, this kid is right. That's my life. Achieve, get, do, be, then nothing. Bob explained, inner peace is different. His words struck me. I knew I didn't have inner peace. I wondered how to get it. He said, you'll find inner peace only with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And Bill said, I thought, give me a break. He said, I got on my horse, rode out of the meadow, and drove back to Denver. For the next year, off and on, Christians came in my life to tell me about the person of Jesus Christ. And when they did, they were insulted, persecuted, and agonized. It doesn't sound like fertile soil, does it? But he goes on to make this statement. And I've heard him give his personal testimony. I've met Bill Fay personally. And his testimony is genuine. And here's what he said. Many of them walked away believing they had failed in witnessing to me. But he said, I never forgot the name, the face, or the words, or any of them that told me about Jesus. And the bottom line, Bill Fay came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ because faithful Christians continued to faithfully sow the seed year in, year out, thinking they had failed. But one day the seed took root. And now Bill Fay goes all over the country telling people how to share their faith and how to tell others about Jesus. Full-time evangelist. I conclude with these three thoughts. Be faithful in sowing the word. Be faithful in sowing the word. Secondly, leave results to God. Leave results to God. And third, make sure your own heart is fertile soil. Make sure your own heart is fertile soil. God wants His word to take deep root in your heart. Will you let Him do it? Let's pray together.